Greetings. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. That's right. We are both here today. We have both, each of us has been off a couple of shows last week or two, but Debbie is back today from a wonderful trip to Ohio. She'll have a little bit of a note about that in a moment. I am Jerry Usher with Debbie Giorgiani, the show team, and this is the show where you take it and run with it with your takes, your lived experiences, your insights, your wisdom. And Debbie, we look forward to another great conversation with our listeners today.
I just better be careful I don't give out the pledge drive number because I do that quite often. I'm the host of AM 1260's The Rock's Spirit Drive, Fall Spirit Drive in Cleveland. Super excited about that. So if you're listening in that area, please pledge. Okay, please pledge. And if your local listening area of Catholic radio comes to you and says it's pledge drive time, please pledge. We need Catholic radio now more than ever. But I won't give you the pledge drive number. I'm going to give you the show number at 1-833-288-3986. That's the number to be on air with us. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. And we are talking today about how God is calling heroes in the family. God is asking folks to step up and be the hero of the family. Do you have those heroes? Can you identify who they are? And you really say, wow, this person really stepped up a great leap of faith and said, I'm going to, you know, save this family, protect this family, and keep this family functioning well. Maybe the strong spiritual hero, the one that really stepped in and did the right things at the right time. God is calling heroes in the family. We need to hear from you on this. 833-288-3986.
You can contact us other ways as well. Email is always take2@ewtn.com. If you're watching the video of the broadcast on YouTube or Facebook, hello there, giving you a wave there. Thank you so much for taking time to tune in there and watch the video stream. You can put your comments there. And Charles Beery, who is on social media today, will get those over to us. Jeff Burson is on the board. Rich Jesse is the producer. Matt Gabensky is the call screener. Yeah, it takes a number of people to put this show on the air every day, so we're very grateful for all the assistance that we get. Let's see what else. You can post your comments on take2show.com. You can text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Put in your first name and your comment about a hero in your family. And there might be a small data rate depending on your phone plan. But again, the phone number, 833-288-3986.
Well, we'll be sharing the heroes we have identified in our families, but we want to hear from you. So fill the phone lines. Matt Gabensky is waiting to answer your call. Let's talk about heroes today in the family. 833-288-3986. Maybe you're the person that's the hero, and we don't want you to, you know, feel like, well, if I call in, I'm going to be bragging about myself. No, we just want to ask you some questions, like, why did you step up? Why did you feel the need to, you know, lead the family in a different direction? Or be that person that they can really look up to for, you know, a possible, you know, new position, a new positioning of the family to keep it together or something like that. You know, it's interesting when heroes rise up, the dynamics change. And when the dynamics change, you know, the outcomes of things ultimately happen that are so much better than we could have ever imagined, right? When those heroes step up, we hear hero stories all the time, Jerry, and we say, look at that. Thank goodness that person said yes, because the outcome, the ripple effect of that is so great. You see where we're going with this? That's why we want to have this conversation. I believe I put this on the show calendar because I think we are in desperate need in this world of God, you know, really asking, God is really asking heroes to step up in the faith and in the family.
Well, especially in our day when the family is still very much under attack. Today is the anniversary of, what is it, Debbie? The final apparition, right, of our Blessed Mother in Fatima.
Fatima.
And the miracle of the Son, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very
big
important day.
Today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the message of Mary at Fatima was so centered around the family, among many other things. So We're talking today about who do you look up to? Who do you really admire? Who can you point to in your family and say, this person really has, like Debbie has said, stepped up. They have really taken their responsibility seriously. They're really helping to raise up, lift up everybody else in the family. You look at them and you say, you know, I want to emulate that person in my family. 833-288-3986. God is calling heroes in the family. Who is that for you and your family? And Debbie, you had a very special day yesterday, and I know you wanted to share some gratitude with the Take Two family for that.
I do. I absolutely love the Take Two family. And I actually took your intentions to Rhoda Wise's house, the Miracle House in Canton, Ohio. I actually put on a piece of paper, you know, the Take Two family intentions, and placed it on the chair that Jesus sat on when he appeared to Rhoda Wise. And I felt really good about doing that, because you guys have great hearts. You're wonderful. And it was a fabulous experience. Marty and I could probably share for the entire hour, but let's just say this. You need to go visit this amazing this house where Jesus and Saint Therese of Lisieux appeared, and Rhoda Wise is on the road toward, you know, to full canonization, and it's an amazing journey that she has been on in her lifetime, and now on to actual sainthood in the Catholic Church. The miracles there at this house, you can just feel it. You can feel it. It's as soon as you walk into the home and in the grotto. Please go visit the Miracle House and support it too, as well, because they're doing great work. I had a very incredible experience, and it's still kind of unfolding. So I'll leave it at that. But I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart to all of the Take Two family. And I heard, Jerry, how you explained that I was going there, and thank you for being so wonderful and how you explained it to everyone. We're a family, and we do things together, and that's a good feeling.
Yeah, beautiful. So happy for you. And I know we're getting emails and other correspondence from people saying they're praying with you and for you, and so grateful to hear that you had that experience. So thank you for sharing that with us. Okay, we are going to take your phone calls in just a few moments here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. God definitely is calling all of us really to be heroes in our families. So as you look about your family, it may be your spouse, it may be a parent, a grandparent, it could be one of your children. Who do you look to as you could say, you know, that person is really a hero for our family? They're rising to the occasion in this day and time that we're living in. 833-288-3986. Well, this is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you, and we so appreciate you tuning in, and we would love to have you call in or participate in one of the many other ways that you can as we're talking about heroes in the family. Who do you look up to? Who do you say you can point to someone in your family and say, yeah, you know what, they are really, really getting the job done in terms of providing for the family, being a spiritual example, being a prayer warrior, any of these things, or whatever comes to your mind or your heart. 833-288-3986. Real quickly, before we go to the calls, a new book from EWTN Publishing is available that you really, I think, need to know about. Debbie mentioned Rhoda Wise is a servant of God. She is the one who, Debbie went to the Miracle House yesterday in Ohio, and Rhoda was the one who lived there, and Jesus and St. Therese appeared to her. And so she is servant of God, which is really one of the first steps on the road to canonization. But Michael O'Neill, the miracle hunter, has put together a book called They Might Be Saints, On the Path to Sainthood in America. And he unveils 24 of America's greatest blesseds and venerables whose causes for canonization are already underway. Pierre Toussaint, once a slave, then an entrepreneur devoted to the poor. Knights of Columbus founder Michael McGivney, I'm happy to say that. Father Patrick Peyton, the rosary priest. Father Augustus Tolton, the nation's first black priest. Wonderful book by Michael O'Neill, They Might Be Saints, On the Path to Sainthood in America. Available now at EWTNRC.com. Buy Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com.
Fabulous. Okay, and so if you want to be on air with us, having this discussion about heroes in the family, that God is calling heroes to step up and really be that person that changes things, you know, makes it go in the right direction instead of heading down the wrong path. Dial this number, 1-833-288-3986. And before we get to Kevin in Titusville, Florida, I just wanted to say, Jerry, that I'm actually functioning on less than 2 hours sleep. Marty and I have been traveling for several days straight. We did get caught up a little bit in that kind of debacle over there, or whatever happened with Southwest Airlines, where they canceled thousands of flights. It kind of affected all the other flights. And so there was delays and this and that. And so we came back home to Arizona late last night, which they almost delayed our flight to today, which would have been a whole nother day. We would have stayed in the airport or at a hotel. But we got home, early this morning, actually, 1 o'clock this morning. I had a couple hours sleep, and then I was on the pledge drive for The Rock in Cleveland. But I just have to say, the reason why I'm telling you this long-winded travel story is because my husband is the hero in my family. Mm-hmm. Marty is, and now people may say, well, he's supposed to do that. He's your husband. And that is true. But he puts up with a lot. I'm not doing the best physically. Been fighting a health situation for a few years now. And Marty was just a trooper. And he did everything possible to keep me happy and moving. And he just is always like that. He really is a hero for me and for those who meet him. And he's, and like you always say, Jerry, he's a man of few words, but you always know you can trust and count on Marty. And that's a beautiful thing. So he's my hero.
Beautiful. Yeah, well, I've got several in my family. Actually, my sister was a real hero of mine, who passed mm-hmm. away a few years ago. So, I just think the way that she died, you know, it was a heroic, dignified, very grace-filled death that she embraced and she accepted. So that'd be somebody I would point to in my family. And I still think about her and talk to her, if you will, on a frequent basis. So,
and her name is Mary.
Mary, yeah.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Beautiful.
What about you, Take Two family? Who would be a hero that you could point to in your family? God really is looking for those kinds of people who are going to really answer his call to be heroic in the family. 833-288-3986. Okay, Kevin called first. He is up first in Titusville, Florida. Hello, Kevin. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. I was just talking to Matt. It's amazing. We got to talking about things going on, and after I shared with him a few things, he says, that's exactly funny. This is the topic. I said, what's the topic? And he said, heroes in our lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mentioned my dad, 10 children, my mom and dad, 10 mm-hmm. children. He was a sailor in the Navy in World War II, got his degree, finished up, and became an officer. He was an officer in the Korean War. First two children of 10 were born at Tripler Army Hospital in Honolulu. My dad went to Mass every day of his life, rosary. We always prayed the rosary on the way to the cemetery, and I say that because one of their children, my little brother Carl, we're all K's, by the way. You gotta do a little bit of creativity with K's, you know, with 10 of them. Carl died of a heart defect. You guys might be old enough to remember Blue Baby. He was a Blue Baby.
Mm-hmm.
So dear Carl was, you know, buried, and we would go in Atlanta to visit him. And we'd pray the rosary. We'd pray the rosary on our vacations. We'd pray the rosary at home. You know, you hear these stories. My dad was a hero. You just mentioned, man of few words. And Debbie mentioned people that you both kind of agreed, yeah, well, we're supposed to do this, but doing it is saintly. And one of the last comments, as Matt came and redirected me to say what the topic was, he mentioned him taking a sabbatical from being in the priesthood formation in seminary. And I mentioned also the last thing comment to him about my dad was, my dad's birthday is September 30th. He passed away in 2005 of multiple myeloma, bone marrow cancer, having suffered off and on for about 8 years. nobody knew about it. You know, that stoic World War II kind of guy, great sense of humor, great family man, traveling salesman. And his birthday was September 30th. And I don't know if you know where I'm going with this, but right before you guys put me on, you mentioned Therese, St. Therese of the Little Flower, equally known as St. Therese of Lisieux and St. Therese of the Child Jesus. Well, my dad was born on the day she passed away. October 1st is her feast day. That's it, his patron saint. So incredible. And the reason I mentioned it to Matt was she had this major thing. If you look her up on Google or whatever, it will say that she had the biggest push for her was praying for priests. So anyway, I'm in a retreat group. Another thing I mentioned, we talked, it seemed like 10 minutes, me and Matt. I'm in a retreat group called Christ Renews His Parish. It's in world, maybe worldwide, at least nationwide. And we meet every 6 months. We had a year and a half off. And I just had a retreat weekend before last. And I'm going to continue with the next one. Who knows? I may do the next 10 because I'm really fired up about that. And I want to be humble because my dad was humble. Jesus was the ultimate humble man, right? Fine and man. But I need to be that, holding back tears, bro, young lady. I need to be a hero because I've got three children I helped through at the regular age, through CCD. They were in public schools. I brought them through the sacraments. Only a couple of them come with me periodically to Mass. My oldest son, who is in recovery, he's not going to Mass. But, you know, you can't push people to do anything. I'm in recovery. I had 5 years, 9 months, 3 weeks, and 6 days clean and sober.
Praise God.
2,126 days. And I've worked on that. I mean, I first went into NA in 1989. I know I'm going on and on, but I'm in recovery. And I'm learning more and more with this wonderful priest I now call my spiritual advisor and a friend. He's Jesus to me. And I think we all could be Jesus to one another. He keeps telling me to quit beating myself up. It's so cool that you often hear people who aren't Catholic have all these misconceptions about Mary, worshiping Mary, and this, that, and the other. And we're not. Jesus is the most wonderful, forgiving, loving, kind, gracious, fantastic creator and, you know, a second person.
Redeemer, yeah.
But God of all. I don't know what else to say. I need to be that hero you guys are talking about. And it's kind of funny because my daughter has told me, because I butt in. My mom used to call me Budinsky. I mean, when we would do that, you're a Budinsky. And it's like my daughter says, if I give you like 2 seconds and I'm not talking, like she's telling me that, then it's time for you to talk.
Well, so, Kevin, let me offer some thoughts here. You have said so much that is absolutely inspiring. Debbie and I are kind of typing messages back and forth to each other about how, you know, inspired we are by your story here. And, you know, it sounds like you really are not only thinking you should be a hero in your family, but it sounds like you are in so many ways. And you had that beautiful example of your dad. How many people, you know, to this day, you know, can look back, whether it's a dad or the mom or somebody else in the family, that quiet, beautiful, holy example that he set for you. It's so great to hear how blessed and grateful you are for the father that you had. And you were, you know, lamenting a little bit, kind of where your own kids are right now. But you I have no doubt you have planted the same seeds in their lives. And by your dedication, especially to your recovery, that is not only going to be a visible example for them, but I really believe God's grace is going to work in and through that, and God is definitely going to hear your heart's desire and the cries of your heart for your kids. So I am really blessed by this call, Debbie. I know you are too.
I am totally blessed by this call. Kevin, I just wanted to say I realized something as you were speaking. I had an aha moment. You could hear you welling up with emotion when you were talking about your dad and about being a hero in general and what you're called to do. And as I was listening to your words, I started to get emotional, and I could see that Jerry was starting to get emotional as well. And You know, I realized, Jerry, it just dawned on me. I'm a little bit slow to the party here, but it dawned on me. When we think of heroes, we do get emotional because it takes a lot to be a hero. It takes a lot. You have to put a lot aside. You have to sacrifice. You have to put others, you know, needs above your own. You know, it really is Christ to others. And when you think about that, a love wells up inside of you. You know, the kind of love that we feel all the time when we fix our eyes on the crucified Jesus, we say, "Wow, that's an overwhelming sense of love for us." And it's just, it's amazing how when we're having this discussion, it just dawned on me that when we are, we can have such an impact on others for generations. Like your dad, he's left a legacy in you, and I'm sure you're passing on the stories to your kids, and it's going to go on and on about how great of a hero he was. But we're all called to step up some way and somehow to the best of our ability. And I just want to say, Kevin, thank you for, I don't believe there's any accident that you were talking to Matt, and it just seemed so appropriate for you to be on the show and share your story. And there's all these God incidences and the Saint Therese of Lisieux and dates and things like that. It's God. It's God telling us and giving us, you know, the blueprint, the map, if you will, the roadmap on how to really have a deep and profound life here on earth. And a great spiritual growth in being a hero to others, being Christ to others. So thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you. Am I still there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
You're there. You are. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing. I was homeless. Thank you, God, for the opportunity and the fact that I was healthy enough and able to get in the Navy and have a great Navy career. Otherwise, I would have been like homeless, like people see homeless people in the woods and whatnot, because I was I lived in veterans homes for 3, 4, 5, actually it was like 7 years. And I now live alone, but I have grandchildren. I'm going to see them later. I told Matt about that. I'm going to visit and have dinner in Cape Canaveral. I live on the Space Coast. I worked at the Space Center. I graduated from Georgia Tech. I've done all my dreams. 6 times Dean's List. When I was in the Navy, they had a physical fitness test one time, and it was like 400 people that, whatever, I guess they had to, or people who entered mile and a half run, sit-ups. It was fairly simple for me because I was running and biking, swimming a mile a day. Well, guess who came in first place? I'm in the newspaper, and I have it on the wall here. Looked at it, but you know, these things that we do, and I have learned more and more, and I'm so convinced nothing I have ever accomplished has not been accomplished without persevering prayer, right? You remember, have you ever noticed in any of the books that St. Paul, the greatest writer or the most prolific writer of the New Testament, he's always talking about praying unceasingly with gratitude, right? Oh, and you have other callers coming up, and I need to get off real quick here, but I'm glad I just remembered something. I had a vision of Mary in 1979, in the clouds above our Immaculate Heart of Mary Church.
Wow.
And it was surely a God incident because I needed it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God gives us what we need at just the right time, Kevin. And again, as we were saying before, all that you have shared, you know, God has been so active in your life, and you recognize that. How many of us go through life and we get blessings and graces, and God is trying to say, hello, I'm over here. Hello, I'm here. I'm with you. I'm here. Take a look at this. And we just kind of don't recognize them, or we're blind to them, or our hearts are hardened or something. But you are someone who really recognized all of that. And thanks for sharing with our listeners what you did. We do appreciate that so much, Kevin. And you're right. We have a lot of calls to get to. We have social media. We're talking today about a hero in your family on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. 833-288-3986. Maureen, Amy, we have a Debbie on the line as well. We're going to get to all of you here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. So glad you're with us.
God is calling calling Heroes in the Family. We're talking about heroes today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Social media coming in, making comments as well. That's wonderful. We're waving to you. Jerry and I are waving to you. You can also text us and tell us your hero. You text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response and put your first name in, how you're listening, and then text us the name of the hero for you. Also, you can email us take2@ewtn.com. I am emotional with Kevin's call because, you know, he was sharing about this, his private revelation, that private gift from God that he saw the Blessed Mother, you know, back in the 1970s. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, that, you know, he shared this with us, the Take Two family, on Our Lady of Fatima, the feast day, October 13th. I mean, you know, is there an accident to that? I don't think so, Jerry. I really think God is moving very fast in people's lives right now. In fact, I heard our dear friend Mother Miriam talking about that. I heard her on the radio when I was back in Cleveland, and she was talking that things are moving fast now.
They really are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say we need to stay really, really close to Jesus right now and definitely ask Mary for her protection and, of course, always St. Joseph as well. Okay, we're going to go to Maureen, who is in Clarksburg, Maryland, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Maureen. Welcome.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, very well.
All right. Well, that was a very touching call, and I hadn't thought about this, but I did while I was waiting, that my father was also a World War II vet, and he died at 92 5 years ago and was definitely our hero and patriarch. But I was calling because I have a hero in my daughter and my son-in-law. She's 35 and he's 37. And just some background, I'm one of seven, and there's 21 grandchildren in my family and 40 great-grandchildren, and my mother's going to be 100 in a couple weeks. Or having a party for her.
Wow.
But my son-in-law, Travis, was stricken with stage 4 colon cancer a year ago. Mm. And he's gone through chemo and radical surgery, and he's back in chemo. They met with a specialist last week who said, you know, didn't like what he saw in there. Going to change his chemo 4 tries, and then if he doesn't see what he likes, you know, clinical trial. They have a 3-year-old. And Travis has just undergone this so strongly and with such great humor. And, you know, he'll say, if I lose any more weight, I'm going to fit into my high school prom dress. You know, he'll say things like that. And ironically, out of all of the children and grandchildren, he's the only one not baptized in our family. So, of course, the priest in their parish is in their life because he's baptized a baby, and they were married in the church, will tell Travis that God is chasing him. You know, so, of course, we're praying for his conversion, and the whole family, we have an army of family and friends and school people praying for Travis, and there's been every prayer under the sun, and I knew it was the feast day of Fatima and the miracle of the sun, and I texted that to my daughter this morning, and for the first time, she's with him in chemo because COVID kept her out. And so I don't know who's the hero, her or him, but they're both just really standing out as an incredible couple, and they just celebrated their 7th anniversary on Monday. And in spite of it all, they have a sense of humor, and this child, their son Conrad, just, you know, pulls them into life, and they just love him above everything. And so that's who my hero is. I was starting to realize that my daughter, I believe the graces are flowing through her from all of us. You know, they're flowing, and they got the grace in the sacrament of marriage. And he doesn't know it, but he is walking the walk of Christ because he's got sore fingers, oozing fingers, sore feet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My daughter said she doesn't know how his hands could get any worse. And I want to tell him things like that, but I don't know if it will make him feel good or bad, you know?
Right, right.
So, my story.
Well, Maureen, first of all, I want to let you know we put your whole entire family in our book. We put you and everybody around you, and then Meredith and your and Travis, and we put the parish priest because you said he's playing a really key role in this journey. Maureen, for Travis, you know, I'm we're both, Jerry and I are firm believers of relics, okay, and what relics can do in healing, you know, because these incredible saints, that a part of them is, you know, physically still with us in the relic, right? We believe that it does, you know, produce a tremendous amount of recognition and activity because we recognize that they're alive in Christ, that they are in heaven, that they are, you know, working on our behalf, helping us, interceding. It's a group effort, Maureen. It's a group effort. So like we put you in our prayer book, the saints want to be active in this journey as well. If your son-in-law is not open to that, then or he may not understand that, you could, if he's open enough for to have you bring relics in, I would ask that parish priest if you could get a hold of a relic of a saint and put it in his bedroom, especially when he's sleeping, because that's the most, you know, that's the longest period of time when you're resting, is that, you know, 8 or 10 hours, but somewhere in the bedroom, so that relic, they can become friends, Maureen, they can become friends. And these saints want to be very friend. They want to be very friendly to the point where they become best friends with us. It's amazing how these saints show up at just the right time. So I don't know if you're doing that, Maureen, but I know that would be what I would just ask you to possibly do. And I agree with you that your daughter and your son-in-law, they're all heroes. You're a hero as well. You've got a lot in your family, and you mentioned your beautiful father as well. So you got a lot of heroes, a generation of heroes there, and that's incredible. But if you could bring in the relics, I think it would be an added healing and graces that is much needed now. What do you think, real fast?
Well, I have a relic. I can ask the priest, but when my father died, in his wallet, it must have come from his mother, there is a relic of Saint Leo. It's in a pin form with a doily inside of it, and it looks like a little chip. And I had that at their home, but I will get that to them.
Okay,
and the other day, before Mass started, I went over to light a votive candle, and I hesitated for a slight second, Mary or Joseph. I usually go to Mary, but I just went to Joseph, and I said, protector of families, father of the family, you know, and I prayed for Travis and lit a candle. I went home, I turned on the TV to watch a football game, and it said, devotion to St. Joseph. And it was like on Channel 7, like a regular. I said, is this EWT? What am I looking at? So I clicked it. I literally got the last 5 minutes, and it was about St. Joseph, and it had the Pope, and they interpreted how he has a sleeping St. Joseph on his desk and how he puts petitions. And this man said, I got this now for my family, and we put petitions to the sleeping St. Joseph. So I had a St. Joseph statue, not the sleeping St. Joseph, but my father's dresser. So I set up a little altar under my Blessed Mother picture just last night. I have holy oil of St. Joseph. I have the St. Joseph. And they read a prayer to glorious St. Joseph. And I scribed it as fast as I could. And I hit record just in case. And I wrote all this down and sent it to everybody. So when you say that God is active, I mean, really, I don't know which way to turn, because I see it all. I feel it all. I'm like trying to be present to the signs. But what you said about the relic, I'll get that relic to them. I'm 99% sure that's what it is.
Beautiful.
And, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of don't know which way to turn, you know. And then when bringing up our fathers, I thought maybe I need to, you know, call on my father some more, because he was a very holy man. He had a very merciful death.
Wow, praise God. Yeah, Maureen, beautiful, beautiful. The only thing that, you know, comes to my mind to offer on top of what Debbie said, and really echoing what Debbie said, is that, you know, your daughter, Meredith and Travis, in a special way, are walking the walk of Christ right now. And in our day, people, any kind of suffering, I'm first in line to want to try and flee suffering, because I don't suffer well. But when you see someone who does suffer very well like this, accept something like this, you said he's still got a sense of humor and so forth. You know, God is looking for people who are going to walk the walk of his son and carry that cross. And through that person and through Travis and Meredith and Connor and Conrad and their family, I just believe the sacramental graces of their marriage are going to be multiplied many times over just by their beautiful acceptance of this trial that they're going through. And as Debbie said, you're all in the prayer book right now, and the prayers will start today and will not stop. So please be assured of that.
And someone gave him the gift of a Sacred Heart candle, and he lights that every night. So he's open.
He's there. He's pretty much there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds
there.
Like.
Yeah. And Maureen, when I visited Rhoda Wise's house in Canton, Ohio, the Miracle House, in the room where Rhoda was, her bedroom where Jesus visited in St. Therese of Lisieux, they have relics in this. They set up an altar, a prayer altar, and they have relics of, I think it was like 9 or 10 or 11 saints. I mean, so the more, the merrier, the better, right, Maureen? So I would grab that relic of your dad's, and I would also ask the parish priest, and I would set up just a shrine of relics and call in an army of all the saints. And remember, your guardian angel, Meredith's guardian angel, Travis's guardian angel, you've got angels and saints, and that is when we really can see miracles happen. I believe that after going to this miracle house yesterday, now it has opened my eyes even bigger and wider than I've ever thought about the spiritual realm. Okay, Maureen?
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Yes,
God bless
absolutely.
You. Thank you. 833-288-3986, talking about God raising up heroes in our families. If you have someone you would like to share with us, please do join us. Appreciate the patience of those of you on hold. Debbie in Minneapolis, hold on. We're going to get to you right after Amy in Arkansas. And Amy is listening to us today on the EWTN app. Hi, Amy. Thanks for your patience. Welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to
ahead.
Pay an ode to my Uncle Dave Elam in Tennessee, because he fought in the Vietnam War, and he's the hero in our family.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Anything specific, Amy, that you recall about his service or just the person himself?
He was a Marine Corps man in Navy. Nurse, and he saved a lot of lives.
Mm-hmm.
God sent him over there to do that, so we're proud of him. I don't think I could do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that in that kind of environment in a war, you know, so important, doctors and nurses and priests and chaplains and people who really, you know, they're kind of behind the scenes sometimes, but they're doing such an important thing. Is your Uncle Dave still living,
yeah.
Amy, or... Oh,
yeah.
He is. Okay, great. Awesome.
Yes.
Do you get to see him often?
They stop by because his favorite restaurant to eat in when they come to Cersei is the IHOP.
Mm.
And all the IHOPs have closed down because of the virus that we're going through, the pandemic, and fully in Tennessee. So every time we talk, he says, Amy, I have to stop by and see you all so we can eat out at the IHOP.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, he's a big teddy bear.
Well, the next time you talk to him, Amy, will you tell him that we feel that he's a hero as well, and we thank him so very much for being so brave?
I will.
And
we go to church with one other one, Jim Palmer, and he had the Agent Orange effects of that from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll share something with you, Amy. That's why it's always bothered me. I mean, I know that people oppose wars and they think that it's, you know, unnecessary of that type of, you know, killing and things happening like that. But the soldiers that put on that uniform and went into a service and active duty and went into the Vietnam War, we owe them our respect. And we owe them a deep sense of you know, a gratitude for their willingness to do what they were commissioned to do and told to do, and they did it in a brave way. And I please, folks, when you see somebody wearing a veteran's hat or somebody that you know has a patch on their leather jacket and it shows that they're some branch of the armed services, thank them. You know, Jerry and I have military in our families, and I'll tell you what, it takes a special hero to put on that uniform and to be willing to risk your life at any moment so that our freedoms can be protected and our country can be preserved. So please, Amy, you can tell the deep love and gratitude we have for your uncle. The way you described your uncle, we love him as well. So thank you for sharing today.
He's also a twin. He has a twin brother, Dan. They're fraternal twin boys that were adopted earlier in life. One just, yeah, because their mom had to put them up for adoption, so, yep.
Hmm. Wow. We have such respect for our military men and women, right, Jerry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead, Amy.
Don't serve overseas, didn't serve overseas in any of the major wars. The one main thing that makes Uncle Dave so mad is when the veterans that didn't serve say that they are actually Vietnam vets. Mm. Oh, he goes off. He just gets real mad.
Right.
He loses his patience. Right. They didn't fight. They shouldn't claim, you know what I'm trying to say. They shouldn't claim to understand what they went through, who actually went over there. So, yeah, I share his just flat out righteous indignation at those people who either got out of the draft or didn't serve, period, and they're now claiming every anniversary that they're not Vietnam vets. The ones who fought are the veterans. They're war era vets. They are two different classes.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that stayed here and the ones that went over there.
Right.
And went through what my Uncle Dave says is a hell. Essentially, is what he experienced, pulling people back off the front lines, and he had to be told several times by his superiors, if you don't stop, we'll have to really get rough with you. Because we wouldn't have him here today if he didn't listen to them.
Right. Well, you know, that's perhaps an understandable sentiment that he has and that you said you share with him, Amy. We certainly do want to, of course, make sure that everyone who has served in the military in whatever capacity, I mean, we never want our, you know, our boys and girls to go to war, as, you know, as is said, you know, war is hell, absolutely. But anyone who does answer that call in whatever capacity, we are grateful for here, and we thank them for helping to secure and, you know, maintain our freedoms. And we thank you, and we thank your Uncle Dave for all of his great sacrifices. And, please give him our gratitude when you talk to him next. We would appreciate that, Amy.
Well,
okay?
Have a good day.
You too. God bless you. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Well, we have had some great calls today and comments coming in. We're not going to get to everybody's call, but we are going to get to Debbie coming up in just about 30 seconds. Debbie, I wanted to share real quickly EWTN News Nightly with Tracy Sable, weeknights 9 Eastern Time on EWTN radio and television. Join Tracy Sable for the Catholic News perspective on top stories and reports from around the world. Great, great show. I watch it all the time.
Okay. Debbie has been holding, as we said, very, very patiently in Minneapolis. Debbie, want to thank you for listening to the program on Sirius XM 130 and for calling in. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be able to listen.
Yeah.
I'm calling because on March 13th of 2020, when COVID was first making its way into the United States and affecting schools, I'm calling from Minneapolis, raised in California. My mom in California called me and said, all right, from now on, March 13th, 2020, we are going to pray the rosary every day at 3 o'clock California time, 5 o'clock Minnesota time. And I thought, oh, okay, well, we'll pray. we prayed the first day, prayed the second day, and after a week, I said, okay, Mom. And she says, no, we're not stopping. God doesn't stop. We're not stopping. And I dreaded that when she would say, okay, call in. So I would call in from Minneapolis. Her sister would call in from Nevada. My sister would call in from L.A. My sister would call in from Ohio. And then in the summer, all of these kids that were at school, that were now not at school and not at college, my mom has like 30-something grandchildren and so-and-so more great-grandchildren, they would all, up to 16, call in, and we would offer what our needs were on our hearts, and it got crazy. And we started praying every day, and so much so that now it's still going on since March 13th, 2020. And here's the impact of it. Because out of, like, obedience to my mother and love, I thought, oh, gosh, not again. I would be driving in the car. I have 14 grandchildren under 12. I would be driving in the car to a soccer game or something or doing whatever, grocery store. And if the kids are in the car, it's 5 to 5. I say, okay, we have to call in now. I would call in, and they would all pray decades of the rosary, except two are not in a Catholic family of my grandchildren. Well, on Friday, thanks be to God, it's 4:45, and one of my little 8-year-old granddaughters who's not Catholic said, Grandma, Grandma, we have to call Grandma Pat right now, because it's going to be 5 o'clock, and don't you pray the rosary? And I thought, are you kidding? And I said, okay, Kaylee, let's do it. I called in. My mom didn't answer the phone because, you know, it wasn't 5 o'clock yet, and we all get in on a conference call, and there's tons of people on this conference call. And I've always made it now where we just have to stop what we're doing, or I'll excuse myself or wherever I am. Everybody knows at 5 o'clock, out of obedience and love now, actually, it's total surrender, that I see the grace of the sacrifice, and I know the rosary is being taught to all these little ones. And so this little one that's being raised in an evangelical church said, okay, Grandma Pat's not there. Let's say the Our Father on the rosary. She said the Our Father, and in the car, I took the rosary out, and I said, Kaylee, do you know how to say the Hail Mary prayer? She said, no, but you know, on the day of my baby brother's birth, it was hailing like Hail Mary, and she's Jesus' mom. I'm telling you, on Friday, I could have cried. I pulled over on the side of the road on the way to a soccer game. So for you, giving this program a voice, you know, that we can all learn from you and others a voice to join in, it is total sacrifice. And the Blessed Mother, now I can't go a day without the rosary. My mother has taught us all, and more, even seminarians call in, and we go on a conference call every single day. I can't even tell you the beautiful graces that come, and it's all praise to our Lord and our beautiful Blessed Mother.
Wow, Debbie. Yeah, this is, we were just kind of communicating between ourselves, and our producer typed over to us, wow, great call to end on today. And it is the call that we will end on, but we got a couple more minutes here just to visit with you about this. And so many beautiful fruits of this you're talking about. I mean, first of all, imagine the graces of just the prayers that are going up. But you talked about the grandkids especially. Beautiful, beautiful how this, the seeds that are being planted here already, you're starting to see those seeds blossom and grow. And you know, as a grandmother, you sound near, way too young to be a grandmother, so I just wanted to say that. But yeah, this is, wow, give your mom our love and our thanks for doing this. And I just hope that this continues to not only you know, go as it is, but who knows how much more this will grow, you know, Debbie, in the future. So yeah.
So I've been on, for 40 minutes waiting.
Yes.
So Maureen and Kevin and then Amy. So right now when I call at 5 o'clock, which is the dinner hour in Minnesota, to San Francisco, I will say we need to pray today for Maureen, for Kevin, for Amy. Mm. Everybody brings this in. And what I've realized now is that my grandchildren feel like something is missing, even the ones that are not Catholic. And they know what a rosary is. They know there's something that we do at 5 o'clock. And my mother did not raise us with the rosary. My mother was married to a Protestant, my dad, and it was not allowed in our home. I didn't raise my own children with the rosary. Now my own children and their children they know, oh, mom's going to be gone at 5. Some of them join in. And my husband, he's a Protestant converted to Catholicism. He's like, I know I can't describe it, but he sees the grace.
Yes.
I call it obedience to the Lord. It's really Thanksgiving. It's really, it's out of love.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, Debbie, we're so glad you waited for most of the show to get on, because I believe that it was truly from the Holy Spirit, and you said yes, and I believe you're helping many, many folks today who are listening to Take Two, and your mother, Pat, is in our book. She's our hero as well. Awesome call. Awesome show. I hope this on this beautiful Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Wow, Jerry. Doesn't get any better than this. A little slice of heaven today.
Indeed. Thanks to all who called in. Thanks to the show team. Thank you, Debbie. We appreciate your call being the last one on today. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about, has tragedy affected your local community? The world, we have big, huge global tragedies often, but sometimes local tragedies go unnoticed, and we want to talk about that with you on tomorrow's program. Until then, we want to wish you a beautiful and blessed day. And for in the year of St. Joseph, we ask him for his intercession. St. Joseph, please pray for us. Amen.